Welcome back to this two-part interview with John Mattingly. John, we were just talking about AI systems and the way that these systems aren't actually delivering performance. Mm. So we need to find out how we can go about delivering performance. What do you think? We've just hinted at maybe the human element coming back into the institutional side. Obviously, it's been wiped out over the years. Prop trading floors and proprietary traders actually taking decisions for institutions. Mm. Could we go back a little bit that way?
I think there's a possibility that you could. I mean, if I was sitting on top of a bank, for instance, and I looked at, you know, the amount of capital I've got tied up in technology, I'd be seriously looking at whether that was being used properly. So there may well be an argument for doing that. You know, you can imagine, as we said before, if you compare the two sets of performance, an averagely good trader will make, you know, 5% a month, right? Even if he makes 1% a month, he's doing better than a lot of hedge funds.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you look at that and then you look at what the hedge funds are doing and then you look at the capital they've got tied up in that and then you look at everything else, you look at their performance and you think, well, actually, the only way they're getting that performance is through their fees.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right? You know, great, fantastic.
Yeah.
So I've often thought that maybe there's a business model that says that how do you take retail traders who are reasonably good, not fantastic, you know, not knocking it out of the park, 25-30% per month type stuff, which there are. There's one or two guys out there who do that quietly on the side. But you could replicate that and put them, I don't know, not in a room, but somehow or another.
Incubate them,
network them up together, such that they could be able to replicate that day in, day out with small amounts of funds and so on and so forth. Now, if I was a bank or I was a hedge fund, I'd be seriously thinking about that just on the pure numbers alone in that sense.
Because we talked about this earlier on, I mean, and I always try and say this to retail traders, is that when people, retail traders, hear about bank traders, they assume they're some sort of god. Yeah. All they are is flow traders most of the time.
Well, a lot of them are. Yeah, I mean, they're very few prop traders.
Those guys, yeah, exactly. And so, you've got those guys going across the hedge funds, and that's why we're not seeing the performance coming through. So maybe we need a different thought process to say, okay, let's actually incubate, like you said, a team of traders who are not in communication with each other, but just get on with their trading with smaller amounts, which so they can get some alpha from that amount. Because the problem, like we're saying, is you become so big as a hedge fund or as an institution, it's difficult to get that money placed.
Yeah, you're on the radar. Everybody knows who you are. You know, you socialise. Guys can't help talking about what their positions are. It's just human nature. You know, God, you know, I've seen guys on Facebook and Twitter telling people what their positions are. I would never bother doing it. You know, I'd never think about doing that. Mm. And you could set up a situation where you could go back to human trading and get superior returns from that. It's at least worth trying, isn't it? I would have thought.
I would have thought so too. And because there is, as long as it's well managed.
As long as, yes, indeed. It becomes a different discipline, doesn't it? It's a management discipline as much as a trader.
So we're talking now again about the institutional level and systematic approach not quite working. And there's too many hiccups going along there. Let's now bring that back to the retail trader. Because there's so many different ways of retail traders being able to automate their processes. I'm not a big believer in automation of processes.
Well, it's a balance to be kept, isn't it? I mean, trading itself is not a very, it can be damaging to your health to sit in front of that screen 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about it, where if you get to be good, you cut it down to, you know, maybe two, three at the very most. Yeah. You know, I think you're the master. You were on BBC Two saying, you know,
I have to be a master then.
You know, I'm out. And they were asking you why you're out. And you said, well, if I'm right, I get that much, but if I'm wrong, I lose that.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And that's difficult for retail traders to get that through their head.
Yeah.
That they've taken responsibility to do that and that they can go and live the rest of their life. So there are dangers in saying you've got to sit in front of a screen for 8 hours a day, I think, to your health. But you've got to accept some of those strictures as well. It is a very, very, very disciplined thing that you're going to do. And your emotional, your psychological discipline is absolutely key. The strategies you can pick up in, a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
It's not hard, right? it's the emotional and psychological disciplines. And that's where there's, you know, what we were talking about, how did you run a whole bunch of guys in remote locations doing the same thing with small amounts that add up to a lot? How would you do that? It's the emotional, the psychological things that you need to...
So for the retail trader who is trying to go down the automated route, though...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Then, okay, they see it as maybe the holy grail in that they don't have to be sat in front of their screens for several hours a day. But it's not, because they've got servers that could go down, they've got connection issues that can happen. That's even if the system's not having an issue itself.
I'm a pretty good algorithmic trader. I've written my own algorithms for a long time. And to be quite frank, I don't use them much these days. I have one or two that I rely on. I never, ever, ever walk away from them.
Right.
They have to be watched just like puppies and children.
Exactly.
You know, they can't be left on their own.
I was live trading against an automated trader earlier on this year in a little head-to-head trade-off. Mm. And he did admit that he sits in front of his computers for 12 hours a day, even though they're automated, just to make sure that everything's working well.
Yeah,
and that, to me, is not quite the idea. But yeah, I mean, everyone's striving for that. But like you say, the markets are changing all the time. And if the institutions, with all of their resources behind them, can only find a short window before the markets adjust and then their systems are out of date again.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little bit different because they're competing against other institutions. Mm. But for the retail trader, it's not going to be that easy. And I guess unless it's a longer term system, which is a much more simplistic system, which is just concentrating on the core principles of trading.
Yeah,
following.
Yeah, trend following, those kinds of things. But you might as well, you know, you might as
well
do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think the other things that I think you said in the last interview is institutions are different. I mean, and certainly with regulation coming along and MiFID II coming along in January, it takes so long for a trader to actually get something into production, by which time the market's moved on anyway. I've often said to them when they've been struggling with these things, just trade it today. It's happening right there now. Do it. You know, you're going to make 120 points out of that straight away. You're going to struggle to get 120 points in 6 months' time when this thing's been put into production.
Right. Yeah. So, talking of which, then with MiFID II, how's that going to affect the retail traders?
Well. Well, it depends what their brokers do, which ones conform, which ones don't conform. It's mostly for the institutions that MiFID II is going to not going to help them. Sorry, is going to affect them.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot more fragmentation. There's going to be a lot more MTFs, multilateral trading facilities, and systematic internalizers, which are essentially exchanges inside institutions, those kinds of things.
Right.
So there's a lot of that going to go on. I think, obviously, we've got the leverage issue that's come up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to cut down on the leverage.
Exactly.
If you're going to 25 to 1, honestly, Mr. Retail Trader, that should be enough.
Yes.
You know, you don't need 400, 500 to 1.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I've spoken to so many traders who have been worried about it. You're like, do you... Seriously, I mean, and that's 25 to 1. That's for people who are in their first year of trading.
That's right.
In the second year, it's 50 to 1 still, isn't
it? Yeah, it goes, I think, 50 to 1. I think at some point you can have whatever you like.
So it's still at 50 to 1. I never go any... I don't go near 10 to 1.
No.
And so, you know, and yet traders are worried about it.
I know. Well, it's that people like leverage, don't they? Because you sit there and you get instant results, it looks like. But you also get instant results when it goes wrong.
Of course. John, on that note, let's leave it there. Thank you ever so much for coming back on the show. It's been fascinating having you on, giving you your insights on the institutional side of things and what's going on in the automation world. And maybe that things need to change and there's still hope for us manual traders like you and I out
there. I'm sure there is.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks ever so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Charlie.
That's it from me on Tip TV. Stay safe out there as you're trading. Take care for now.